Miriam.
Kodesh Tov.
Good Kodesh Tov.
Vashlomech.
Is this a Chodesh Shir, or did you say it was something at 7?
No, the Chodesh Shir is at 7.
At 7, which time? I'm sorry.
West Coast, it's at 10 Eastern time.
Oh.
No, this is the mini Zohar, the half-hour Zohar class.
Oh, okay.
And right now, you're the only one who's come on, so we're waiting for another person.
Okay.
How did your meeting go?
I used the shalom. Yeah.
Chana Esther.
Kodesh Tov.
Kodesh Tov.
So we are on section 64B of Bereshit Bet in the Sulam commentary of the Zohar. And we'll be starting tonight with verse 384. L'shem yichud kudsha b'richu ishkimte b'tchilu urchimu utchilu utchilu urchimu v'yachta l'shem yud hei b'vav hei v'yichudah shilim b'shem kol Yisrael limud Torah mitzvah v'asok Torah mitzvah Vayhi Noam Adonai Eloheinu Aleinu Maaseh Yadeinu Kunenei Aleinu Maaseh Yadeinu Kunenehu Siyomo De'enosh Afilu Yenukei Pehahu Dara Koho Hawo Mashkechan Bechach Mertan Ilayin Vachavay Mistachlan Beho Amar Rabbi Esra Ihake Mipshin Hawo Bila Hawo Yadin Dizamin Kuchabritu Liata Alaihu Me Tofana Vimutun. In the days of Enosh, even children were acquainted with the supernal wisdom, which they learned and observed. Rabbi Yisrael said that if this is so, they were stupid, because they did not know that the Holy One, blessed be He, was bound to bring the waters of the flood upon them, and they would die. Questions, comments, thoughts.
So how was it they didn't know?
No, the verse is saying that they did know. The children knew how to utilize the witchcraft. And Rabbi Yisrael is saying, If they did know how to use the witchcraft, they were really being, the English, they're translating as stupid, but I'm sure that's not a valid translation. He was saying that they were foolish because they did not know that the Holy One, blessed be He, was bound to bring the flood, even though in the previous verse, we were taught that Hanoch ben Yared and Yared and Methuselah. All these three generations were teaching them and bringing to them this information that the flood was coming. So the verse seems to be in somewhat in conflict with the earlier verse. And the operative word is seems to be.
Well, I would think that if the children saw the results because of their parents' use, they were looking at the physical highs, and I kind of hold the adults more accountable than the children.
Well, remember the Torah says on a literal level that the sins of the father are visited on the children.
Mm-hmm.
And the children were acquainted. It doesn't mean that they knew how to do it. But then it says, which they learned and observed. So what did they observe? They observed angels being forced to go against their nature through the manipulation of human beings. That is what can happen with, humans are the peak of the hierarchy. Not when we are in our world physically, not when we have fallen spiritually, but when we have cleansed and we have grown, we will be higher than the angels. So ultimately, we are capable of controlling angels. We're capable of using angels to do our bidding. I think I've mentioned more than once about the Midrash that says that the evil inclination and the good inclination, which are now presently inside of us, are actually two angels that had the sin not taken place, every human being that would be born would have these two angels as playmates. And they would be part of their life as extra sets of hands to do what they wanted to do, to be sent where a human wanted them to go. So here you have children observing their parents controlling the angels and causing the angels to do what their parents wanted them to do. And as they went through generation after generation, they learned and they were saying, but look at how the world works. When Yared and Methuselah and Hanoch ben Yared would tell them, the flood is coming because you're not doing things properly. You're not doing things rightfully. The flood's going to come and destroy you. And they said, but look how the world works. We control the angels. And we can stop the flood. Because we'll tell the angels to turn off the spigots. Spigots is my word. The Midrash doesn't use that. And do you have this same situation today? What do children learn? Do they learn spirituality from their parents? Are children following the paths of their parents?
Hello.
Yes, Hannah.
It kind of makes me think of the Aramaic versus the Hebrew language.
you can go on to explain that a little more.
Because as we learned that the Aramaic language is above the what the angels
It's not that the Aramaic is above the Hebrew. They're two different languages, and the Aramaic, according to the Midrash, is not understood by the angels. But that's a surface level. You have to dig deeper. What does that really mean? Now, and the rest of this is my own contemplation, and you have to evaluate whether this is truth for you or not. But what does it mean that the Aramaic cannot be understood by the angels? It just, you know, logically doesn't make any sense, because after 5,000 years, you don't think that Satan could have put angels to work understanding the Aramaic? Of course he would. But ultimately, what it meant, what I perceive it to mean, is that Aramaic is a more direct language. It doesn't go through the angels. It goes directly from the humans to Hashem. And if you look at the differences in the Aramaic language versus the Hebrew language, most of the words in the Aramaic language end in an aleph, while the words in the physical language, in the Hebrew language, didn't mean physical. The words in the Hebrew language end in a hey. An aleph unifies. A hey represents the physical world. Hebrew transfers negativity. As the sages teach and the Zohar confirms, if someone says to you, Tov Meod, he is saying the negative system is good, because the word Meod was the creation on the second day of the negative system. And so the idea that the Hebrew language transfers both positive and negative consciousness, whereas the Aramaic language only transfers positive, because everything is unified with the aleph at the end of the words. Now, that's about 100% true. Not all of the words end in aleph, but many do. And in the plural, many end in nun rather than mem. But that's my opinion. It's not necessarily truth. You have to evaluate that for yourselves. But the children learned what they learned, just as our children learn what they learned by observing. What do they observe? You know, the statement, do what I tell you to do, not what I do, doesn't work. Children learn what they observe. You have the old argument, the same argument that's been going on for thousands of years. Is it nature or nurture? Am I programmed to do what my DNA says? Or is it the way I'm taught as a child that I learn the right things to do, the correct things to do? And the science essentially says today, although they haven't fully tested the hypothesis, is that you're programmed in a way, but you don't have to follow that way. you can learn another way. So you have the control. You have the free choice. That's what science is coming to the conclusion of. Kabbalah comes to the idea that you are programmed in a certain way. Everything is preordained, but you have the free choice of whether to bind your, to do striking by binding. Your free choice is to go against your nature, which then puts you into a different movie metaphorically. Are there any other questions or comments or thoughts? Nobody's speaking.
No.
No, thank you.
Okay, I'm going to go on to 385. Amar Rabbi Yitzhak Minda Yadeh Aval Achidutit Shuta Bali Baihu Deinun Hawo Yadeh Ahu Malaka Dimana Al Esha Wehahu Dimana Al Maya Vehawo Yadin Lemechetzar Lon Dilayatlin Lemebedina Alaihu Weinun Lahawo Yadin the Kuchabarinku Shalit Alara Umineya Yete Dina Al Alma. Rabbi Yitzhak said that although they knew, foolishness grabbed hold of their hearts. They thought that death, by knowing the name of the angel in charge of fire and the angel in charge of the waters, they could prevent them from executing judgment upon them. Hence, they had no fear of punishment. But what they did not know was that the Holy One, blessed be He, controlled the earth, and from therein judgment would come upon the world. Questions, comments, thoughts?
When it says the earth, is it referring to the land, or is it referring to nature? In other words, you said the judgment came from the earth. That
I understand the question. I'm just looking in the Aramaic, which I don't speak, and I'm not that familiar with. And I don't see it doesn't say land, which would be Eretz, because I've seen that in Aramaic as well. I believe it's the word ara, aleph resh ayin aleph. Because it's literally the phrase shalit al ara is controlled the earth. Is what it, the English translation is coming from those three words. And if I'm not mistaken, I'm not sure what the word is and whether the earth, control the earth is a clear translation. Whether it's the land or it's the surface or it's the inner essence of the earth. I would think it would be the inner essence of the earth.
Mm.
Because I've seen midrashim that indicate that in the flood, not only did the rains come down, but the inner waters of the earth came up from below, and that some of them were hot and some of them were cold. And so it was really a whole range of different extremes that caused the earth to be destroyed.
Yeah.
Any other questions or comments or thoughts?
So I'm just thinking, just going along this thought that the fabric of physical world was something that they were not in tune with. So when they were doing their magic, they weren't in tune with that aspect of life, and that's kind of what came to overtake them.
That said well. What it's saying is that when they know the names of the angels, who was in charge of the water and who was in charge of the fire, that they were saying, we can control the angels. But they forgot that it's always Hashem who's in charge. And that is essentially, if we go back to the discussion of the generation of Enosh, and we've discussed this before, what Enosh did was people appreciated Hashem. So they would say thank you to something that happened in their life. Thank you, Hashem, as we are taught to do. But they also thank the angels. So they would start to say, you know, thank you, XYZ angel, and thank you, Hashem. And then they got lazy. So then they were just thanking the angels. Now, if we put that in the idea of astronomy, astrology, they would say, thank you, sun, for the warmth you send us. Thank you, Hashem, for creating the sun. But then they forgot to include Hashem, so they would just say, thank you, sun, for sending us the warmth. And that became the idea of praying to the creations and not to Hashem. That became the idea of serving the various creations, the sun, the moon, the stars. And we also have to remember that certain elements of the negative system were given the permission to inhabit a tree. And so as a human being would walk by the tree, he would receive a shot in his pleasure center in his brain. Some energy shot would go out and give him pleasure. And so that tree became an object of worship and an object of addiction as well. And that's the idea of the Hebrew word asherit. I think that's the correct word, which is, you know, a tree that people worship. And it wasn't that they were truly worshiping the tree, because they weren't foolish. But there were entities who had permission to attract them, to give them a chance to say no to idol worship, give them a chance to control their desire for pleasure without being willing to work for it. Or even if they were willing to work for it, forgetting that it was Hashem who created the tree. And it was Hashem who created the entity that was giving them that pleasure shot. So that was the... that is the idea of the of what I think is involved in this this pasuk. It's hinting to all of that.
Does the earth grow high in mountains?
indicating a desire to go up to the to become God. That's what it means. That's how we would understand it. Doesn't, again, this is my opinion, doesn't mean that it's truth. You have to decide that for yourself. We know that tsunamis and earthquakes and hurricanes and tornadoes, all of these things that destroy humankind and human activity, all of this is created by humans. The earth is not inherently negative. But it is, its forces can be used for negativity unless they're unified through the letters, through the Aleph, unless they're controlled. We know with the idea of the shofar blast, when we blow the shofar on Rosh Hashanah, we blow a tekiah, the long blast first, and then we will either blow the three short blasts or the nine short blasts, which represent separation and not unity. And then we follow up at the end with the tekiah, which is again unifying. And this Kabbalah has explained that what it's actually doing metaphorically is creating a rocket that has affinity for the negative actions that would come down and impact each human being. And so by blowing the shofar in that manner, where we have positive and then negative in the middle and then positive, we have built in is the affinity to the negative, so it will find those negative consequences to our own actions and blow them up, eliminating them. And that's why we blow the shofar on Rosh Hashanah on the Day of Judgment. And I'm just using that same logic in applying it to this word Ara, because again, I do not speak Aramaic. I do not know these words. And the Aramaic of the Zohar is a different dialect than the Aramaic in the Talmud, or the Aramaic that was used by the people.
Yeah, I hear that. I'm just thinking along the lines of the earth, the existence of the earth hides the light, doesn't reveal it at the moment. So in that sense, it's Ra, because it hides the truth of Hashem.
Amen. Every creation is good. Remember, in the 7 days of creation, it's only the one day where Hashem doesn't say it's good, and then he says it's good twice on the third day. So every creation is good. But from the perspective of a human being, a tsunami isn't good, is it? Because it destroys people, it destroys human activity, it destroys structures. But in another sense, that destruction is good, because it's cleansing the selfishness that's injected into those structures and into those people. Now, we as human beings, we think that something that hurts us is not good. But as you grow spiritually, you realize that all the pain you go through in this world is cleansing and beneficial. And you don't really receive the good till you cleanse the selfishness. The Remember, the meaning of this section, the title of this section, male and female, he created them. Well, the earth is female. What's the male? The male is heaven. In Bereshit, the first verse is Bereshit bara Elohim et hashamayim ve'et ha'aretz. Elohim created the heavens and the earth. The heavens is plural and the earth is singular. But why did he create both? Why couldn't they both be in one? Why couldn't they be created totally and unified? This is the same idea of day one, Yom Echad. It doesn't say Yom Rishon, first day. It says Yom Echad, the one day, because everything is unified. But then on day two, it's Yom Sheni. It's male and female, which is separation. What's wrong with separation? There's absolutely nothing wrong with separation, because it's a process of reunification on day three. And if you ask any human being, that's the wonderfulness of coming back together in unity with your spouse. That's the end of our section. Tomorrow we will start section 65. Does anybody have any other questions before we leave this for tonight?
No.
Kodesh Tov to all.
Kodesh Tov, thank you.
Yes.